Today's reading is in Matthew chapter 5, starting in verse 38. Matthew 5, verse 38. You have heard that it was said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. But I say to you, do not resist the one who is evil. But if anyone slaps you on the right cheek, turn to him the other also. And if anyone would sue you and take your tunic, let him have your cloak as well. And if anyone forces you to go 1 mile, go with him 2 miles. Give to the one who begs from you, and do not refuse the one who would borrow from you. You have heard that it was said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say to you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, so that you may be sons of your Father who is in heaven. For he makes his sun rise on the evil and on the good, and sends rain on the just and the unjust. For if you love those who love you, what reward do you have? Do not even the tax collectors do the same? And if you greet only your brothers, what more are you doing than others? Do not even the Gentiles do the same? You therefore must be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect. Just like the other misconceptions that Jesus has been correcting, here he begins correcting this idea about revenge. And he says, you have heard that it was said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth, which was part of the old law, but it was not part of the old law intended to allow for personal revenge. It was a part of the law that was allowing for judicial equity, how to decide what the cost is or the penalty of wrongdoing or even accidental wrong. Here, he says, you've changed it and you've distorted it so that it's not what God intended. So over the centuries, this has gotten changed enough that it's not a judicial point anymore. And of course, he ends with this idea of love. And so really what he's talking about is, how do we interact with the world around us, even those that we would count as enemies because they would persecute us or be against us in some way? And just the fact that we use the word enemy brings up a negative connotation. We have negative emotion that we immediately feel when we use that word enemy. If we say so-and-so or this group of people or this country is our enemy, we automatically feel a sense of animosity toward them. But Jesus says, you're called to something higher than that. You're called to emulate your Father in heaven if indeed you do follow him. And so the fact that you would emulate him means that you have to be different than the world. And it makes a couple of comparisons. You know, do not the tax collectors do the same? Do not the Gentiles do the same? In other words, worldly people will care about those that are close to them or like them or of the same nationality or hometown. So that's not the standard. That's the worldly standard. He says to be a follower of God, you have to be called to a higher standard than this. After this is some sayings that people find a little bit difficult to swallow. He says, do not resist the one who is evil. If anyone slaps you on the right cheek, turn to him the other also. And then he gives some examples. So he says, if anyone would sue you and take your tunic, let him have your cloak. If anyone forces you to go 1 mile, go with him 2 miles. So the idea here needs a little bit of discernment. Let's start with the 2 miles. What it was is a Roman soldier was allowed to conscript, I guess you would say, for a short term, someone in an area. And so they would require their assistance for 1 mile. And he's saying, if they require this of you, and it was part of the law of the land, then go the extra mile. You know, go 2 miles. And the idea of the tunic, you know, let him have your cloak as well. That's the higher standard. He's not talking about being unresisting toward evil in general. And I think that we are expected to speak out against evil, and we are expected to utilize government, which is supposed to be a terror to evil. But yet he's saying there's some standard out there regarding your interaction with people that would tell you to go that extra mile or to give them the cloak also. In regards to the cloak and the extra mile, I believe Jesus is talking about things that are lawful. These were things that could be done under the law of the land at the time. Sue you and take your tunic, requiring 2 miles, or requiring 1 mile and going the extra mile. So in those two examples, I believe he's talking about that which is lawful. The third one is not any sort of a threat or requirement. It is the one who begs from you. And so then there is compassion added into it on top of some lawful requirement. So again, I believe that we are called to resist and oppose evil. But here he's talking about, well, you might feel taken advantage of, but go ahead and go the extra mile. Go ahead and go the extra distance in order to fulfill what you're supposed to do. And I think that's where he goes into verse 43. You've heard that it was said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. Why? Why does God love even those that are at enmity with him? That is, they are doing things that are opposed to him. Well, the answer is because he cares about them and he wants them to be saved. So then we need to translate that to ourselves. Why are we told to love somebody and pray for somebody who would be opposed to us? I believe the answer is the same. It's because we want them to be saved. So by going that extra mile, by giving the cloak as well, what would the result be? Could it possibly be that we might change someone's mind or heart based on the way that we would respond? Let's think about that soldier for a moment. He is able to require assistance for a mile. And how would a lot of people respond to that? Griping, complaining, trying to get out of it. You know, might spend the entire mile cursing the soldier, telling them how terrible they are for requiring this of them. But then they come across a follower of God and they don't do that. They go the mile, and then they tell him, I'll go ahead and carry it another mile. I'll carry this burden another mile, so we'll go 2 miles. What effect would that have on the soldier? And I think it would have some effect. Maybe it wouldn't change their mind. Maybe it wouldn't change who they are, but maybe it would too. I think that's something for us to think about in the way that we treat people, the way that we respond to people, and why Jesus tells us that we need to pray for those that would even persecute us. And then we'd be like our Father who is in heaven. We would care like he does. We would love like he does. We would act like he does. And so again, if you love those who love you, what reward do you have? Do not even the tax collectors do the same? Greeting only your brothers, do not the Gentiles do the same? Jesus isn't saying this is going to be easy. He's not saying that acting the way your Heavenly Father does is even going to be natural. But he says, we are called to a higher standard. We have a higher calling than the world does. We cannot be content to act the way the world does. We must strive to act the way that our Father in heaven does. So I will leave you with that. And I will ask that you think about praying along those lines for us to have a heart the way that God does, and we might care for people the way that he does. And I would also ask for you to continue in prayer that God may be with us all.